This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Friday morning, December 6th, 2024. And it's another beautiful, if cold, morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. If you're listening on the app or by podcast or watching us on Facebook or YouTube, we appreciate having you here as well. To start your morning and wrap up your week, wrap up this first week of December, I got a question for you. If we ask you one more time, really nicely, will you go online and vote for us? The Volume 1 newspaper in the Chippewa Valley. This is the final day of voting for their Best of the Chippewa Valley contest with just dozens and dozens and dozens of categories out there. You don't have to vote in all of them, especially if you're not actually in the Chippewa Valley, but we're sure you have an opinion on who might be the Chippewa Valley's best radio show. And so you go under the media category and you look for Up North News Radio and you put a little click there, maybe vote in a few other categories, call it good, and we'd appreciate that very much. Last day of voting over at volume1.org. That's volume, and then spell out one, O-N-E, volume1.org, and we'd appreciate that very much. Coming up on the program this morning, we've got Congressman Mark Pocan, who's going to join us at 7:30. We'll talk a bit about the Trump transition, which seems to be the main thing to talk about this time of year, where you've got a new administration and a new Congress coming in next month. And I'm going to ask the congressman, in all seriousness, what, if anything, he thinks could be done during those first 100 days that might strike most Americans as bipartisan and functional. Or will it not be anything like that? We're going to play some comments from Congressman Tom Tiffany that kind of give you more reason to suspect the latter than the former. We'll talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about some of Trump's picks for top law enforcement posts in the new administration and what that might mean for national security. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about the transition, specifically Pete Hogsett, the interesting character that Trump wants to be Secretary of Defense, a nomination that is most definitely on the ropes, to put it mildly, but it's you know, from Hegseth's own doing, not any kind of hit campaign against him. And then Dan Schumacher will be in here, our resident Chicago Bears fan, and probably the only team in the NFC North that's not going to make the playoffs. The Packers still probably will, barring a collapse, but they did not win last night against Detroit. We'll talk about that little Thursday night football game coming up in just a bit. Along the way, we always invite you to join us here on Up North News Radio. You can call us or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Send us a text message with a question or a comment, or give us a call. Or you can also use the Civic Media app to call us or text us. And again, if you're watching either on the Up North News Facebook page, the Civic Media Facebook page, or the Up North News YouTube page, you can put something in the comment section and we may throw it up on screen as well. Temperatures at the bus stop this morning are cold once again. It's 16 here in Chippewa, 17 in Hayward. Wausau is down to 12 right now. In La Crosse, it's 18. Amory, 19. Wisconsin Rapids, 13. Green Bay, 14. Madison at 17 degrees. Waukesha way down there at 10. And at Radio Park in Racine, it is 16 degrees. Where we find Mr. Greg Bach, resplendent in his Civic Media t-shirt and ready to head into the weekend. Mr. Bach, how art thou?
Art thou good? I wish a happy St. Nicholas Day to those who celebrate. Yes, to
all you Nicholases out there.
To all you Nicholases, all you saints, and all you kids who are like, why don't I get a sock full of toys? My apologies to you. The Christmas season is really upon us, I feel like. We're getting there. There's lights. There's decorations out there.
Yes.
Pat, as you know, I run a system called a Cartwall, which has preloaded stuff ready for me to go. So if I want to give you a good old-fashioned... I can do that. That's
built in. Yes.
I did add for the Christmas season. I added in something that I know you will love. No, it's going to be great.
No,
here we go.
No.
Oh!
I almost said a bad word. In case folks aren't aware, this is the worst holiday song ever.
It is the best. One of the best modern holiday songs ever.
And I say that as somebody, again, big Beatles fan, big Paul McCartney fan, you know. Seriously, I am. But they can't all be Grammy winners. They can't all be good, as the case may be. And so, I had to poke the bear early this morning and pass on to Greg a post by somebody else who says, on wonderful Christmas time, Sir Paul McCartney set out to make a timeless Christmas classic and also to figure out what every button does on his synthesizer, and he absolutely succeeded at one of those things. And that's exactly the story behind Wonderful Christmas Time.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody.
And now I get to hear it nonstop for the next several weeks here. Lucky me.
That's your doing, buddy.
What's at the Laughing Tap this weekend?
Wonderful lineup. We have a local favorite. Her name is Dana Ehrman. She is a Milwaukee comic. She has performed all over the country. She's opened up many times for Charlie Barron's. She's opened up for a slew of other comics, but she is one of Charlie Barron's regular openers, and she will be at the Tap this weekend. Three shows, one show tonight, two shows tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 o'clock for the late night Saturday show. Tickets are available at laughingtap.com. $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums whatsoever, but we feature... Like, our beers are almost all Wisconsin. I think all of our beers, with the exception of one, is all Wisconsin. Our top shelf liquor is mainly Wisconsin spirits. So you are supporting Wisconsin through and through.
You're drinking local while you're laughing local.
Exactly.
So laugh local. Go to laughingtap.com to learn more information. The daily newsletter from Up North News can be found over at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And Christina Laurie has nothing but love for one Giannis Antetokounmpo and mentions that it is his 30th birthday today. Happy birthday to Giannis.
Happy birthday, Giannis. I mean, you're a professional athlete, but here come the knee pains.
Yeah, well, he's definitely getting a taste of that already, and hopefully modern medicine will enable him to be a star NBA athlete for years to come yet. And before you get to the point where we all are, it's like, nope, there's nothing else medicine can do for those knees. So look at us. We're putting him in a wheelchair already on his 30th birthday. Happy birthday, Giannis.
Somebody referred, one of our sports guys that we have on Thursdays on Matt and Aaron there, Monday through Friday on Civic Media Radio Network, 10 a.m. to noon. He referred to the Bucks as they're becoming an old team. I'm like, what?
I heard that at the end of last season that there was speculation that some of the older players were going to be, traded away or allowed to leave and new players would come in. And it's like, you're not counting Giannis in there, are you? And some of them are now with him being 30.
Okay, but we just signed him to a $230 million contract in the past year and a half.
I thought you were going to say it was a 230-year contract. Yeah. That's how it feels sometimes with these things.
Yeah.
Your payroll is locked in for the foreseeable future. Oh, no, we've got him. It's all building around him. No other club is going to want to take on that.
Yeah.
Especially with a guy who's really old in his 30s now.
Ooh, he's fresh 30. So, fresh 30.
Yes. Also in the newsletter, gift ideas. This one's one of the more unusual ones. Specialty license plates that you could help somebody get for their car. And there are so many different kinds. I had no idea how many kinds of different license plates there are. We've got a link in the newsletter to the DMV site where it's everything from amateur radio license plates to one that benefits the Children's Hospital Foundation. There is the Civil Air Patrol. There is Cure Childhood Cancer, Disabled Veterans, Ducks Unlimited. I mean, look, I'm only at the D's. It's just alphabetical and it goes on and on. But go take a look because maybe, like one here, Golf Wisconsin license plate. You know, you have Green Bay Packer license plate, Harley Davidson license plate. That might be just the kind of unusual gift that you can't get in any other store. So,
is there a license plate that says, I pay more for my registration because I have a hybrid?
Okay.
I just wanted to put that out there to the world. I pay more.
Yes, you do. Yeah. We'll get into that later on.
I do want a Brewers license. I want a Brewers license plate.
Yeah, I think that would be kind of cool. And one more note in the newsletter. You might be surprised at how many members of Congress, the House, the Senate, how many governors have direct, they are direct descendants of people who held enslaved people. And some of the reactions, the unusual reactions when those members of Congress are told about it. Again, in our newsletter, sign up on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. All right, let's turn to that Packer game. The Packers, they didn't look terrible last night in Detroit. It's just that it was clear which was the better team right now. The Packers lost on a Detroit field goal as time expired. 34-31 was the final score. Even though the Lions have a ton of their defense on the injured list, they were still able to get in Jordan Love's face early in the early going. The Packers did finally settle down. They got their run game established with Josh Jacobs, who scored 3 touchdowns. Then once the run game was established, it gave Love a little more breathing room, so he finished 12 of 20 for 206 passing yards and a touchdown pass to Tucker Kraft. For the Lions, though, I mean, they're just on a tear. This is their year. A franchise record 11-game winning streak. And, of course, all but ended any remaining hopes for winning the NFC North once again. It's just the Lions' year. Tony writes on YouTube, the Lions converted so many fourth downs. And they did. Their coach took gambles, and they paid off. However, the Packers still appear to be in good shape in the wild card race along with the Vikings. The Packers next, they get a 10-day break, and they play at Seattle on Sunday night. That would be, December 16th, whatever it is. It's a Sunday night game, 7:20, and then a Monday night game on December 23rd, hosting New Orleans at Lambeau Field. So more primetime games ahead. We'll unpack some of the news after this. This is Up North News Radio from the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
No, there's no audience laugh track this time for Paul Simon trying to sing Still Crazy after all these years. Because unlike a couple of weeks back, he wasn't dressed in a turkey costume like he was on SNL back in 1975. But it was a couple of weeks later, on this day in 1975, that Paul Simon got to number one on the album chart with Still Crazy After All These Years, his first number one solo album. We'll have more of today's history lesson coming up in about 30 minutes, and Kia Vakil is coming up in less than 15. The Badger women's volleyball team, a 2-seed in the NCAA tournament, won their first round game at home against Fairfield in straight sets, and they will host tonight's second round match against 7-seed Georgia Tech. The Marquette women, meanwhile, are a 5-seed in the tournament. They beat Florida Gulf Coast University last evening in Salt Lake City, and in tonight's second round, they'll face Utah, the 4-seed and the regional host. Again, a reminder that the Badger men's basketball team is in action against Marquette. They will be heading to Milwaukee tomorrow for a pregame that starts at 11:30 on the Civic Media app and on stations in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. The Badger women's basketball team will host Rutgers on Sunday. Coverage begins at 1:40 on many of those same Civic Media radio stations. The Badger women's hockey team is top-ranked in the country, 17-1 on the season. They play tonight and tomorrow afternoon in Mankato against Minnesota State. The Badger men's hockey team, meanwhile, hosts Michigan State at the Kohl Center tonight and tomorrow evening. Coverage begins at 5:30 today and tomorrow on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. And don't forget, you can catch all kinds of high school sports action on the Civic Media app as well. Congressman Tom Tiffany, I mentioned earlier about, we're going to talk to Congressman Mark Pocan about whether anything good, serious, and bipartisan can come out of the next Congress when it sits, Donald Trump being in office. And I just wanted to play this clip from Tiffany on one of the right-wing cable networks. I just want you to remember that as Tom Tiffany talks about the things that they can cut, the other thing they're going to cut is taxes for the very wealthy. And yet they also keep talking about the deficit going up. Here's what Tiffany had to say.
Do something about this overspending that's going on in Washington, D.C., and start to get responsible. And by the way, it doesn't have to be just the discretionary spending. We can get at some of the mandatory spending also. I mean, like food stamps, some of those things, that's mandatory spending. You know, I think some of the benefits that are paid in regards to the work requirements, I mean, some of that is under the heading of mandatory spending. We can deal with some of that, too. So I'm really encouraged to hear that. And also, boy, the regulatory state, we got to deal with it because there may be more bang for the buck in terms of growing our economy of making regulatory changes, get the impediments out of the way, let those job creators and entrepreneurs really be able to go to work. There's probably more bang for the buck there than even the deficit reduction stuff.
That's Tom Tiffany right there saying, hey, the hungry out there, they need to be more hungry. Yeah. Can't we cut that down, please, and not be so gosh darn generous in making sure that children are being fed?
We're going to take the money, Pat, out of the food stamps, and we're going to put that into bootstraps. And we're going to give bootstraps – well, we're going to give discounts. We're not giving them away. This ain't – what are we, the government? We're going to give a deep discount on bootstraps so they can pull themselves up, start those businesses, and become job creators, and then maybe they'll eat.
Yeah. That's how he wants it to work. Or
God.
The way, and it seems just so perfect to say it at this time of year when everybody's reading Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, because all I can say is if you're gonna make Dickensian comments like Tom Tiffany is,
yeah,
well you can't spell Dickensian.
Nice.
Moving on, I would like to just take a moment to grab a press release here by Governor Tony Evers, and I want you, let's just run the math on this thing, okay? Governor Evers' office yesterday announced that Eli Lilly, the big drug maker, is about to make a huge investment in Southeast Wisconsin. It's going to be literally billions of dollars worth, a $3 billion expansion of a manufacturing facility, $4 billion total by the time you add up some of the other buildings and property and other investments there. But here's the thing. This isn't a story about the state of Wisconsin giving Eli Lilly, you know, billions of dollars. This is not a Foxconn kind of story. We have to go, let's rewind the tape and let's go back to 2019. And instead of $3 to $4 billion, let's start with a much smaller number, $1.5 million. If you go back to 2019, it's when Governor Evers joined the leaders of a company called Nexus Pharmaceuticals to say that Nexus had selected Pleasant Prairie as the location for their first sterile drug manufacturing facility. And the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation provided $1.5 million in performance-based tax credits. So you have to get stuff done to get the credits in order to build the facility. The first such facility, by the way, built in the nation in more than 30 years. All right, now fast forward to 2021. Governor Evers joins Nexus for the ribbon cutting of the facility. Now fast forward to earlier this year, when Eli Lilly announced it was acquiring the manufacturing facility from Nexus and is now going to expand upon it to bring to its total, by Lilly, $4 billion of investments. It wasn't like in Foxconn, where we said, here, let's push all of the taxpayer money to the center of the table, and you guys just take that, and we'll take it on faith that you're going to do something with it, even if you don't. No. Instead, by smartly investing in smaller businesses that were nimble, had more potential for growth, and therefore made themselves much more attractive to acquisition by larger companies, the larger company then comes in and is able to make a mammoth investment on its own. And it all got done with a $1.5 million targeted tax credit plan from the state of Wisconsin. And we see examples of this all the time, of the state of Wisconsin, since Governor Evers took office, making the smarter investments, doing the smarter budgeting. I don't think that Democrats writ large do nearly a good enough job of tooting their horn about that, but this seems to be such a classic example of how you should. Keep that in mind while Republicans are busy cutting food programs for hungry families. Kia Vakil's next. You're up north.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back. On this Friday morning, I have the distinct pleasure of telling you that we're joined from Los Angeles by Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil, who did not get caught up in a tsunami yesterday, despite a great many Californians, at least in the northern part of the state, getting tsunami warnings on their phone. Kia, good morning. Have you ever gotten one of those? That would be maybe the most unnerving thing I could ever hope to see on my phone.
Yeah, no, I have never gotten a tsunami warning. I've gotten an earthquake, several earthquake alerts, obviously, and also experienced several earthquakes, but never a tsunami, thankfully. And I'm eager to never experience one.
Same. For folks that didn't see it, there was an earthquake off the Northern California coast. It triggered a tsunami warning, but thankfully nothing came of it. But as I was looking at all the screenshots of people having all their various tsunami warnings on their phone, and I mean, look, I'll put up with tornadoes. You have to put up with earthquakes, but I draw the line at tsunamis.
No, I'm very glad nothing came of it.
Let's start with a follow-up to a story yesterday about Anthem, formerly Blue Cross Blue Shield, in the Northeast, saying that they were looking at not covering the full cost of anesthesia after a certain time limit. It caused all kinds of outrage. Of course, Kia, the devil's in the details. We're just here to tell you that the company that's kind of backed away from that. The whole thing, of all the stories you thought you were going to see this week, not covering the cost of anesthesia if a surgery goes too long, whatever the conditions, was not on my bingo card for this week.
Nor was it on mine. And it just speaks to, the sort of state of our healthcare system, that there was so much, outrage and backlash, even though this is like a very nuanced and complicated issue. And a lot of that backlash was sort of less than fully informed, but health insurance companies are rarely good actors, good faith actors. So they backtracked, I think, in the face of that pressure. The whole thing just needs reform, frankly.
That's just it. The fact that, you get into the details of what is the Medicaid reimbursement rate versus private pay versus out of pocket. And, again, much like our health insurance itself, it just seems far more complicated than it needs to be, but that's the whole reason I think this struck a nerve with folks, pun intended on the anesthesia there, is the need to, the companies don't have to be any worse than they already are and stop trying so hard. Let's try to make this easier. That's going to be a little tougher, though, because we've got the Trump administration coming in. We've got a Republican Congress coming in. And at the moment, before we even get to talking about policies that might come up in Congress, you've got President-elect Trump trying to get his cabinet nominees through. Pete Hegseth hanging on by his fingernails as potentially the defense secretary. And now it just seems out of spite. He understands how many people think he is the wrong person for the job. But it does not appear that, I guess Hegseth's going to try to force a vote on this and see, isn't it just a big test of Republican, they'd say loyalty, I'd say compliance or supplication or whatever the right word is, to Donald Trump?
Yeah, I mean, we will see how it ultimately pans out. I still kind of believe he'll wind up withdrawing and trying to save face a little bit and going back to maybe Fox News, where there are pretty much no standards. but, you know, this is a man who has... is accused of sexual misconduct, who cheated on his first wife and his second wife, and has a history of alcohol abuse, which, again, a lot of people have issues with alcohol and alcoholism in this country, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. But, that's an active thing, that's a fair concern to have for putting someone in charge of the Pentagon.
Well, yeah.
And you can't be a soldier and, be on active duty and, six beers deep. So I don't think we would want someone who is in that situation running the Pentagon. And he, above all that, he just does not seem like, he just seems, like an a-hole, frankly.
Yeah, just dismissive of all the other concerns, not the least of which is that he still, as recently as a month ago, was saying that women should not serve in frontline military combat jobs, which... You gotta wonder, between Joni Ernst of Iowa and Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, two senators who are veterans who served in the Iraq War, it just doesn't. It's a reflection, I think, just as much on Donald Trump that this is his feeling of the 4,800 women that are serving in Army infantry, armor, and artillery jobs right now.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump doesn't care. I mean, Hegseth is one of at least three appointees, slash former appointees, if you include Matt Gaetz, who has credible accusations of assault. We know Donald Trump has dozens of credible accusations. He doesn't care. He wants loyalists. He wants to, prod liberals and, people on the other side. He likes people who are on TV defending him, which Hegseth has done. I am pleasantly, I'm not going to hold my breath. I think the Senate is going to confirm a lot of bad candidates. But, I'm pleasantly optimistic that some of the worst ones won't get through. Mm-hmm. Just because, I do think there are a handful of Republican senators, including Joni Ernst, specifically on the issue of the Pentagon and sexual assault. I would hope she doesn't budge on that based on her own experiences. We'll see what happens. Trump is Trump.
And yet it's not just Trump. It's not just pressure from Trump or the White House. You've now got the Heritage Foundation, which is the right wing think tank behind Project 2025, now saying they're willing to spend $1 million to put pressure on senators who are unwilling to support Hegseth. And what does that mean? It means even though the election is over, these Republicans would see ads back home on their local TV stations saying that, tell your senator he should be more supportive of, President-elect Trump. And it just, again, tries to take away from the core issue of who should be running the military as Secretary of Defense, and to what degree should they have the experience, the character, and quite frankly, the ability to say no sometimes when a president, barks out an order.
Yeah. I mean, I will see if Heritage I think they're more bark than bite right now. You know, I don't know that running an ad right after an election is going to be particularly effective. No one wants politics in their face right now. And, you know, I also don't know that Heritage has that much sway that as much as they used to, because of how they handled Project 2025, frankly. But yeah, that says a lot about the state of the conservative movement, that they're going to the mat for Pete Hegseth. Like, there are plenty of, you know, arch conservatives being nominated to things. Marco Rubio, you know, Mike Walls. You know, we're seeing a whole bunch of folks who, you know, are not being caught up in this because, you know, they might not have views that most Americans or Democrats agree with, but they're not sexual predators. They're not people with a history of, you know, being terrible in the workplace. They're not massive conspiracy theorists. So, yeah, it's interesting that that's where they're choosing to, you know, use their firepower.
It's kind of like what we talked about yesterday with Brad Woodhouse from Protect Our Care, is that it's more than RFK and Dr. Oz. There's a whole bunch of folks being appointed to NIH and the CDC, and they're all terrible too, but because they're not as terrible as Robert Kennedy Jr., you know, they're going to skate through. And it's unfortunate, but again, it's why we're going to be around for the whole time to try to hold the ones to account that do get into office. Let's turn our attention to a few things happening in the States here. As Kia, as one of our editors, sees a lot of the news copy that comes through all the many different Courier Newsroom state outlets, Up North News among them. In Michigan, the trifecta is ending, where Democrats control the governorship and both houses of the legislature. And so as a result, now in their lame duck session, they're trying to get some things done before Republicans take over one of the houses, correct?
Yes. So they've had the trifecta for about 2 years. They're losing it soon after the election results. But, you know, there's a lot of bills kind of dangling out there. And, you know, we don't have enough time to go into all of them. But, you know, there are efforts to create a prescription drug affordability board, which effectively could reduce the cost of drugs by setting some, you know, caps. There's efforts to implement more transparency requirements on charter schools, which are, you know, effectively schools that get public funding. But right now, there's very little public insight into how that money is spent, unlike traditional public schools where they pretty much have to open their books. There's some stuff around economic development incentives, which, you know, are controversial, but those are being discussed. There's some efforts to address reproductive rights and require insurance providers and Medicaid to cover over-the-counter birth control. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff. Probably not all of it's going to get done, because there's only, I don't know, what, 10 working days left before they break for the year. But some of it will, and, you know, we will see what they wind up getting done. But, you know, looking back on the 2 years of the trifecta, you know, they did a lot in the first year. Second year has been a little bit quieter. It's an election year. That's usually what happens. So, it'll be interesting to see how they close out. And then, you know, as Republicans take over, you're going to have a split government that probably isn't going to get a whole lot done beyond, you know, basics like education funding, road funding, things like that.
Well, if even that, and then more likely more culture war material. You already had at least one Michigan Republican saying that, you know, if it were up to him, he wants to see same-sex marriage made illegal once again. Again, the kind of thing you didn't have on your 2024 bingo card, but there are still Republicans out there that really want to take the country deliberately backwards.
Yeah. And that guy, you know, I'm not going to say his name because that's what he wants. He's a troll. He has done very little in office but spew hate. And I think we're going to see a lot of that in the next couple of years. I think Republicans are going to misread the election results as a mandate for their agenda to be hateful and to, you know, repeal rights. And that's not what it is. The election results are very clearly a referendum on inflation and people feeling like things are spinning out of control. People don't want to make gay marriage illegal again. People do think abortion should be legal. People do not want corporate tax cuts. People do not want people like Pete Hegseth in charge of the military. You know, I think you're going to see a real misread of things, and that's going to lead to some really unfortunate things happening, but also I think a huge swing in the other direction eventually.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to overplay their hand. And one final thing in the States I wanted to cover was over in Arizona. We've been watching them because, again, they, like Wisconsin, send so much money to voucher schools. And the amount of voucher school fraud that comes up in some of these states, and Arizona is the most recent one, should really get people's attention to try to make sure that Wisconsin does not go down a similar path.
Yeah, I mean, this was a crazy story. Arizona has basically opened the floodgates for vouchers, and it's caused a budget crisis there because, you know, they're very Republicans or, you know, just want to expand it, and they have. And this week we saw a grand jury in the state indict out-of-state residents who allegedly applied to the voucher program for claiming they were parents to 50 children, 43 of whom do not exist, and got more than $100,000 as a result. And so they live in Colorado. They spent the money on living expenses in Colorado, according to the indictment. But this just speaks to it's the wild, wild west of, you know, we've heard stories in the past of parents using the money on TVs and on guitars and just like, you know, it is reckless and it is, you know, it's appalling, frankly, to use money meant to educate children to on vouchers and then to have such little oversight of it just doubles down on how misguided this is.
Wild West is really the way to put it, and just allows the grifters to come in. And again, so Wisconsin education advocates, you know, be on notice that we don't want to see something like that here. Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil, as always on these Fridays, Kia, we appreciate it so much. Have a great weekend.
You too, Pat, anytime.
All right, we'll have today's history lesson next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is normally the part where we would say this is today's history lesson, but we're going to class things up a little bit, and we're just going to say jazz
with jazz hands.
No jazz hands, just jazz.
Spirit fingers?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay.
But whatever Dave Brubeck used to write tunes like Take Five, you know, give him his due. Born this day in 1920. Passed away in 2012, one day before his 92nd birthday, and changed things. People were like, what is this? I kind of like this.
Yeah, this is what we call West Coast jazz. Like, totally indicative, just like...
Oh, are we going to do the West Coast, East Coast thing again?
No, there's no fighting.
What kind of rap... Did Biggie and Tupac argue over Dave Brubeck versus, you know, the jazz artist from the East? I don't know.
I'm not starting a fight, buddy.
Okay.
Put the saxophone down, man. We just love.
It's all about love. Comedian Stephen Wright is 69 years old today.
Yes, he is. Yeah. I love him so much.
I should have asked you to queue up a couple of these. You know, just again, much like Dave Brubeck, so different. Mm-hmm. The first time I heard him on Johnny Carson say, I once put instant coffee in a microwave and went back in time, you know, or everything is within walking distance if you have time.
The two that always stick out for me are I accidentally put my car key in my apartment and I took my building for a ride. And then just he'll be telling a joke and then he'll be done. He'll stop dead and he'll just look down and go, oh, no, I lost a buttonhole.
Or this one, I think it's wrong that only one company can make the game Monopoly. I just love the insights. Happy birthday to Stephen Wright, 69 years old today. Randy Rhoads, the Ozzy Osbourne guitarist, was the late Randy Rhoads, born this day in 1956, helped write tunes like this one for Senior Osborne. Do you think he wrote that part, or did Ozzy say, "I would like to scream that"?
I think Ozzy was like, "I think I'm a train conductor."
On this day in 1790, Congress moved from New York to Philadelphia, where it sat for 10 years until the District of Columbia was ready to serve as the nation's capital. On this day in 1999, the recording industry sued Napster, which right away I know has triggered something for, again, a certain generation of folks who they hear Napster and they go, "Oh, I remember those days." I was like, "Wait, I can go on this new thing called the internet and I can go get any song I want?"
Yeah.
For free? And at some point the recording industry was like, no, you cannot. You cannot get these songs for free. People wrote them and they should be paid for them.
You know,
but it was so cool at the time, though.
It was cool. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was a LimeWire kid. I wasn't a Napster kid. But, you know, I remember listening to a discussion with Lars Ulrich, who took a decade and a half worth of flack because he went to Congress with names of people. And that wasn't so cool. But like one of their big complaints was like, he's like, it wasn't so much they were taking our songs. They were breaking into our hard drives and stealing unfinished material and putting it out there, too.
Oh, that's not good.
And we're like, yeah, that makes sense. I'd be upset about that, too.
Yeah, yep. Let's see. Led Zeppelin had their first hit on the singles chart on this day in 1969. Oh, wow, 55 years ago. with this single that topped out at number 4 on the charts.
Oh, yeah. It's just a Guitar Friday. Like, just
I like it.
Riffs for days.
Uh-huh. Whole Lot of Love again hit the singles chart this day in 1969. The Beatles were kind of overdoing it on this day in 1965. They released an entire album, Rubber Soul.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play Norwegian Wood off that a little bit later on, and Michelle and songs like that. But they also released another new single, We Can Work It Out, with Day Tripper on the flip side. It's just that's the Beatles. Like, we got so much music, we're gonna put all this out on one day.
Okay, we get all right. It. You guys write songs. Ugh.
Yeah, we exactly. Hey, back to 1969. I realized that while Whole Lot of Love topped out at number 4, I didn't tell you who was number 1 that day.
Ooh.
It was by Steam. There you go.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
What a riff.
not the same as Led Zeppelin, no.
Who doesn't love a xylophone riff?
Hey. Which one of those songs are you screaming out from the stands at sports events 55 years later? Yeah.
Call me when Call Me When Crazy Train is 55 years old. And that's what I'll be.
Okay. All right. On this day in 1977, Jackson Browne released a live album, Running on Empty. Now, here's the thing I'm going to tell you about it. It was a live album compiled from various spots on a summer tour. To that point, live albums typically relied on songs that had already been released, and here's the live version of them. This was really one of the first popular albums that was first recorded live with new songs, and then played on the radio. And people were like, "Hey, yeah, that's a pretty cool song. What's the studio version sound like?" Don't know. you get what we did in front of the crowd.
That was the original point of Let It Be. They were going to do a live concert of brand new songs and release that, and then it went.
Yeah, it wasn't all good for the Beatles, especially near the end there. Let's see. On this day in 1993, now keep in mind, 1993, at this point, the Eagles had been broken up for 13 years with no sign they were getting back together. So a bunch of artists decided to pay tribute to the Eagles and do an album. And Travis Tritt was going to do Take It Easy. And he shot the video this day. And guess what? All the Eagles showed up and reunited as they were recording Travis Tritt's version here. And the thing is, they had such a good time, they decided to reunite, and they did the next year, 1994, with Hell Freezes Over. Happy Microwave Oven Day, St. Nicholas Day, and World Trick Shot Day, for those of you who spend way too much time in the pool hall, or the basketball court, as the case.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.